he dragged the bus with his hand. He tried not to go with him because he was absolutely mad. He used to dance on the beach every night, and he was feeling embarrassed if somebody comes and sees that he is also standing with him. And he was not only inviting him to stand by, he was inviting him to start dancing. Seeing the full moon night and the ocean dancing and the tidal waves and Zorba singing on his guitar, suddenly the bass started feeling an energy into his legs that he has never felt before. Encouraged and persuaded, finally he joined the dance. First reluctantly, watching all around, but there was nobody on the beach in the mid of the night. And then he forgot all about the world and he started one with Zorba, the dancer, and the ocean, the dancer, and the moon, the dancer. Everything became loss. It all became a dance. Zorba is a fictitious character, and Buddha is an adjective for anyone who drops his sleep and becomes awake. No Buddhist need to feel hurt. I am giving Buddha energy to dance, and I am giving Zorba eyes to see beyond the skies to far away destinies of existence and evolution. My rebel is nobody else than Zorba the Buddha.
Beloved Book One, you are the true rebel, and you are the new man, and you are a master midwife helping to give birth to us. Since true rebellion is born out of awareness, love, and meditation, as if it is an alchemy, a living wholeness unto which we simply need to awaken, how can this rebellion catch like wildfire?
Satya Dharma . The question is not how this rebellion can catch like a wildfire. The question is, for you, to catch the flame, for you to become a rebel and don't be worried how the world should catch the rebellious spirit. You are the world. Every individual is the world. It happens that Akbar, one of the great emperors of India, has made a beautiful pond, and he was bringing the most beautiful swans from the highest lake in the world, Mansarovar, in the Himalayas. The greatest and the whitest and the most beautiful swans are born only on that lake. For his palace garden, he has made a very vast pond, so those big swans don't feel imprisoned. The pond was almost a lake, big enough so they can enjoy freedom. And he was standing and seeing the completion of the pond. The pond was complete, pure white marble. His prime minister said that tomorrow the swans are coming. The information has reached. As a welcome for them, we should fill the pond not with water, but with milk. Later on, of course, we will have to change it into water, but for the welcome, for the first day, Akbar said, but from where to get so much milk? The Prime Minister said, that's easy. Just we have to inform the whole capital that the emperor's garden is receiving swans and he wants, as a welcome to the swans from the Himalayas, their pond, at least for the first day, to be filled with milk. Everybody in the city is requested to bring a bucket of milk. And the capital was large, and if everybody brings one bucket of milk, the pond was certainly going to be filled with milk. And who was going not to fulfill the request? In fact, it was a joy to join the emperor in welcoming the swans coming from the Himalayas, which is such a rare variety. And Hindus have always worshipped the swans for their great capacity, that if you mix water and milk, perhaps that is a mythological idea, that the swan is capable to drink just the milk and leave the water. Water and milk mixed, it is almost impossible to separate them, but the swan has the capacity. This must be a mythology. Certainly it is a mythology, but has a great significance. It means that the man who can separate the unreal from the real, the mortal from the immortal, the mundane from the sacred, the man who can separate sleep from awakening, he is also called Paramhansa, the great swan. The emperor was very happy, but the next day there was a great surprise for the whole palace, because the whole pond was full of water, because everybody in the city thought that just one bucket of water, when there will be millions of buckets of milk, who can detect it? Just you have to go a little early when it is dark. So everybody went a little early when it was dark. And everybody poured water, hoping that everybody else is pouring milk. Not a single man in the whole capital poured milk. You simply think, Satya Dharma, about yourself. Your bucket should be full of milk. Don't bother about others. Everybody has to think about himself. If he has to save his organic unity, his joy of the world, and his ecstasy of consciousness together, he has to become part of the great rebellion I am talking about. This rebellion is going to be the religion of the future. But each individual has to take the responsibility on his own shoulders. Just think about yourself, that's enough. And if you become a flame, if people see the Zorba and Buddha both in you, you will create a great challenge around yourself for everybody. If you can become so rich on the outside and on the inside, so rich that you can have roots deep in the earth and wings flying in the sky, that you can master the matter and consciousness both together, then it will be an invitation and a challenge and an exciting journey for anybody who comes in your contact. And rebellion is always contagious. It is a wildfire. But you should have the flame. Then wherever you will move, you will go on putting people on fire. People becoming a flame with a new light, with a new vision, with a new idea and a new conception of man and his future. An astronaut lands on Mars and comes across a beautiful Martian woman stirring a pot over a flaming fire. "What are you doing?" he asks. "Making babies," she replied. "That is not how we do it on the earth," he tells her. "How is it done there?" she asks. "I can't explain, but I can show you how. May I?" "Sure," she said. And he proceeds to show her how it is done. Then when they are finished, she asks, "Where are the babies?" He tells her, "They don't come for another 9 months." "So," she replies, "why did you stop stirring then?" "Go on stirring. That's how we do." "Until the babies come, go on stirring." You are asking Satya Dharma, how this fire can become a wild fire around the earth just go on stirring.
Beloved Bhagwan, you have killed me with your love. No words can say what I feel, only silence. But now I am addicted to you, and I am afraid of the moment that I must go away from you, my master and my home.
Marcia, if you are really addicted to me, then there is no fear. This is an addiction that knows no distances, either in time or in space. Wherever you are, you will remain addicted with me. Perhaps when you are far away, your longing for me will be deeper, more intenser. And you cannot be away for a long time, because I am not only your master, but your home too. It is good once for a while to go away from the home, just to realize how sweet is the home. Living in the home, being with me, becomes almost a natural thing. One starts taking things for granted. Hence it is always good once for a while to go away, to intensify your desire and your longing and your passion. Your addiction will not fade away. There is no antidote to it. There are many doctors here. I have been consulting all of them. That do you know any antidote of this addiction? They just say there is no antidote right now, and there is no possibility in the future either. To be in love with a master is to be in love at the highest and the purest level. It is no ordinary love. Nothing can be higher than that. It is something divine. The greatest lotus flower once you are addicted with it, you become a lotus eater. Then nothing satisfies. Then the home goes on calling you continuously. Paddy fell 2 stories from a building scaffold. Did the fall hurt you? Asked his friend. Paddy felt his aching bones. It was not the fall that hurt me, he said. It was the sudden stop. There is no fear in falling in love. Just don't stop suddenly. Go on falling. Never stop. It is the stop that really hurts. People live under a very deep misconception that falling hurts. Paddy has revealed a great truth that it is the stopping that hurt. Falling was perfectly good. One was almost enjoying a flight in the sky. Soon you will be back here. Things were quiet at the Pune police station. What a dull week. No burglaries, no fight. No sex orgies, no naked women. If this keeps up, we will be out of a job, said Officer Singh. Don't be a pessimist, Singh, said the commissioner. I have still got faith in human nature. Something is bound to happen. Marcia is going to be back again. Don't be worried, Marcia. Just go to have an experience of missing me. That too is very sweet. It is almost like an appetizer. And when you are away, you will remember what I am saying. The old woman comes to the small town and goes to the rabbi and complains that her husband has accused her of being ugly. The rabbi states that it is a serious allegation and he must consult the book of the great sages. The rabbi takes the book, places it on a stand, opens it, takes out his spectacles, puts them on, looks at the woman and pronounces firmly, "Your husband is right." When you are far away, you will know that your master is right. There is no need to consult any rabbi. Just for the journey, a young American couple who were touring England went to Canterbury Cathedral, where they could not resist making love on one of the historic marble tombstones. The next day the girl complained of back pain and went to see a local doctor. After the doctor examined her, he told her that he could find nothing wrong. But by the way, he asked, "How old are you?" 24. She answered, "Why?" "Well," said the doctor, "it says on your ass that you died in 1787.
Okay, minister. Yes, sir, come.